Hey, Ursula, you want to come and talk to us for a while? Ursula, for those, everybody knows, but for those on the stream, this is Ursula Rudenberg, our affiliates coordinator, and the person predominantly responsible for the expansion of the affiliate networks by almost a factor of two in a very short time, but I'll let her talk about it. Go ahead.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, and just so you know, Ursula, we have about a half an hour. Okay. And so if you could give your comments in the first 10 minutes or so and give us 20 minutes to talk, that'd be with you. That'd be
okay.
Very great.
An update. 2 days ago, or on Wednesday, was our latest affiliation. It's WVCR in Vassar College in Poughkeepsie, New York. The main part of the work that I've been doing in the last really half year has been focused around the Radio for People campaign. This was, some of you may have recalled that about a year ago, a little bit more than a year ago, the board voted to participate in efforts to sorry, I didn't mean for those CDs to be passed out. That's okay. That's all right. Go ahead. Pacifica decided to contribute to the efforts in the outreach and support efforts for the upcoming FCC filing window. At the time when the board voted to participate in this, it was still kind of considered a rumor, but in fact now the FCC has announced that the filing window will be on October 12th, so the rush is on for these licenses. So in the past half year, what I've been doing has been working with what's called the Radio for People Coalition, and this is a coalition which is primarily Pacifica, National Federation of Community Broadcasters, Prometheus Radio Project, a Public Radio Capital, a group called Future of Music, which John Kriegler mentioned today, and a group of students in the West Coast called Common Frequency. And we meet on a regular basis by telephone, and the Pacifica has really played a leadership role in terms of grassroots media organizing, meaning those people who want to organize station the grassroots way. We've been developing regional networks as an organizing strategy, and we've chosen as our two strategic areas of focus the Midwest and the South, since those are two areas that have a lack of community radio and have the highest density of population. There is another area out west in Montana, North and South Dakota, but those areas have a much lower population, so we decided to focus on these two areas. In the Midwest, we formed a regional network with a great deal of success, and we hold weekly conference calls as kind of drop-in support calls. Any of you who are ever interested in hearing these calls, please feel free to join us. I can give you the number for it. And we have a spirited group of people who are extremely excited about building community radio in the Midwest and are discovering the magic of radio ownership from the beginning again. Now, with that network fairly well in place, we've moved to the South. And through the help of our affiliate in Atlanta, Georgia, WRFG, Yvonne Dooley's station, Yvonne Dooley's station, we have tapped into a really fast track organizing effort because the South is so organized as a result of the civil rights movement. And so we now have very rapidly a network growing of people in the Georgia, South Carolina, Alabama, the Mississippi Delta, Texas, who are forming a radio network or a network to apply for licenses. And for those of you, thank you. It's very, very exciting. And for those of you who have been with the network for a while, you know there's some sort of poetic justice in the fact that Pacifica is finally managing to build a network of southern community radio stations, and we're doing it the politically appropriate way this time. And so it's actually a very beautiful thing. So let me jump ahead here. In being involved with the Radio for People Coalition was a decision that I made as being a good use of my time as your employee. So what is Pacifica getting out of this now? When we went to the National Federation of Community Broadcasters last weekend in New Orleans, I think I can really say, honestly, that this is the first year in a long time that Pacifica really was acknowledged again as a major player in the media world. And I do want to thank Greg and Rip for the role they played in it. We went in and we went into a kind of a summit meeting the night before the conference started with the other community organizations that have been working on Radio for People, and we kind of walked in as a gang and made a strong showing, and Greg is really great at those kind of situations. And we definitely gave them the impression that Pacifica is serious about having a seat at the table. And so the value of the network has been raised in other people's eyes. Another benefit we're getting out of this is public. I don't know if those of you who know what public radio capital is, it's a private, not-for-profit consultant group that basically invests in new radio stations. And they, as a result of our work with Radio for People, have offered the seed money for the beginning of supporting the Southern campaign. They've offered us somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000, kind of as a beginning of funding for our efforts, and have also offered other very, very important resources, which are kind of complicated to go into, but there are other expenses associated with applying for licenses that Public Radio Capital has agreed to cover for us, so that the folks down in the South will have very few barriers for their moving ahead. Most of these people are quite poverty-stricken, so they're not going to have the kind of resources to jump into this quickly, so it's very helpful. A final benefit that I'd like to share with you is that, this is kind of literal, that the stations that are being built now are the future of community radio in the next 10 years. This is probably the completion of the community radio map to a large degree. These are probably going to be the last licenses that are readily available. And let's face it, these could be future affiliates at best, and at the very least, Pacifica Radio is once again seen as a pioneer in the building of community radio. And and honestly, in my assessment, if we were not playing a role in leadership role here, that we probably would be facing in the near future an alternate radio network, because somebody else would be taking the leadership, and we would have a second community radio network, which I don't think would really benefit anybody, quite frankly, including us. So in conclusion, I guess the question I would ask is, what does this mean now? I was hired a few years ago by this board to build an affiliates program. I think that program has been built. We're at almost 120 stations now and making upwards of 200 to 200, and I'm not sure how much it's going to be by the end of the year, but it'll be more than 200,000. So the radio net, the affiliates network, for all intents and purposes, has been built. So at this point, the question is, do we want to keep it, and what does it mean to us? So I can give you really briefly what my answers are to those, but ultimately, it's your decision, not mine. It's my job to inform you of the options that you have on the table. I think we should keep it. I think it's proven to be an extremely meaningful reality, which has a life of its own and is full of energy and opportunities for this network when we choose to really take advantage of those opportunities. What does it mean? This is what I see it meaning. When I started to do this job, I was trying to understand what kind of a world a program like this would exist in, and my job, in a sense, was to do network building, because that's what the affiliates program is. What I learned at the beginning of my job was that although, yes, it's true that listeners do come to Pacifica for programming, in reality, in the world of radio, it is no longer only the programming that brings people to Pacifica. Stations have learned how to do their own programming, and they can get a lot of free programming other places. So it is. We are no longer living in a world where programming alone is the issue. We are living in a historical time right now, media-wise. There is a challenge being put to the media in America. We're at the risk of being dramatic. We're in a media war. There are forces that are fighting us. One of the reasons why the Radio for People Coalition is attracting tremendous attention in the country and tremendous funding and concern is because everybody understands that the reason why the licenses were frozen until now, it's been about 20 years, is because every time people tried to apply for licenses, conservative religious organizations would block people from acquiring community radio licenses. They took them to court. They stole the frequencies. There's been an all-out grab for the licenses. And we understand that, of course, with this opening window, there's going to be... they are much more organized than we are, and their intention is to get all of the licenses. So we are really engaging in a historic battle for the future of the radio map in this country. So at this time, our network is extremely meaningful. And I believe that as well as producing programming, it is going to be very important in the future that Pacifica establish itself as a national force, speaking up for grassroots organizing and grassroots radio stations. And we're effectively doing that right now. We have reestablished our reputation in that. So the question I put on the table to you is, based on the successes that we have had so far, what does this mean to you? And if you do, it is really the basic foundation for a very powerful strategy, outreach strategy, branding strategy, if you will. Essentially what that means is a role in this country, again, as a community radio force. If we want to make this part, if we want to capitalize on the successes we have this far, we are going to have to find a way to bring this reality into the discussions we have on the national board level so that when we have discussions about programming issues or the licensing and distribution, I would ask that you begin to consider to make a place at the table for the work that's being done in what's being called the affiliates program today. I agree with Greg. I think it should become an outreach department because that's really what it has to be in order to succeed. And it's kind of it's my job to tell you about this. In a way, it's your choice is yours. Thank you. Now, I did bring the CD, which I think some of you got. This is one of the things that we've done in Radio for People. Pacifica has created a website called radioforpeople.org. I ask you to check it out sometime. It's the website for the coalition, but Pacifica is maintaining it. It's a very simple outreach website because we mostly are encouraging people to talk with us personally. The other thing we've done is we've created this radio show, which is basically an infomercial for community radio, and we're asking the affiliates to play it, and we'll ask the sister stations to play it. And it's an outreach tape. It's a lot of fun. And it's also, you can listen to it at radioforpeople.org. The sound is there. Now, I was hoping there might be time at some time at this board meeting to play a little bit of it for you so you can get some of the spirit of what's happening. But that's, I know there's time constraints here, so I kind of put that on the table. You can play it if you want, or if you prefer to use the rest of the time for questions, that's fine, too. Either way you want to do it.
Is it something that would take our full attention? Because one possibility is during the dinner break, which I think will be served in here.
Sure,
we could play it over the PA while we're eating and enjoy it then. Is that okay?
Sure.
So we can have this time now for questions. No questions, are there?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, okay. Ambrose, and then we'll go around.
Let me ask a couple of questions, a series of questions. How many licenses are we talking about? What is the projected cost of acquiring each license?
How many licenses is a little bit of a mystery because there's so much secrecy involved with this process because people have to protect themselves. I would say in the Midwest right now, we're working directly with approximately 15 to 20 people that are going to apply. In the South right now, I think we're at about 15.
Before you do that, could you clarify, what do you mean there's a lot of secrecy because people have to protect themselves?
Well, the thing is that this is I'm learning a lot about radio building. The truth is radio frequencies don't exist. They're created. Air exists. Free air exists. A radio frequency is something that is created by a consulting engineer. And one person can build a frequency that looks different than another in the same area. So once somebody has actually paid for an engineer to create a frequency, and this frequency is going to be designed to succeed for optimal success, meaning that the FCC now has created a point system, because all of these frequencies are going to be contested. There's no doubt that the religious right is going to try and contest everybody. So the applications have to be successful. They have to be designed in a way which is for optimal success. That has to do with how good your engineer is at finding a station that's in the right place, meeting the right people, and you know, there's a checklist. So once you've paid somebody to create this frequency, you have something very valuable. Now, if somebody in your community finds out you have this, they're going to steal it from you. They're going to find it and steal it.
Literally.
And so, yeah, and this happens. You know, this isn't a theory. This does happen.
Frequency, you mean like a contour map?
Is a that contour map, yeah. It's a map that shows where your where the tower is going to be and where it's going
to
reach.
So that's expensive to make, if somebody has that, they can just copy it and say, this is what will happen.
Yeah.
Submit that to the
or they'll find ways to steal. They'll find out where it is, and then they'll retrace your footsteps, and there's lots of ways to do that. So the people that have actually done this are hiding it, partly because they paid a lot of money for it and partly because they know that there is a vicious and aggressive enemy that is systematically grabbing these licenses. So people are testy about that. The second answer to your question is that we're telling people that the investment for applying comes to, by the time you've paid lawyer fees and engineer fees, you're talking about $5,000. John Krigler is actually part of the Radio for People campaign. He's working with the coalition and is donating tremendous amount of free time. And he has come several times onto our conference calls and given free advice. And we actually tape these. As you can see, they're very amusing. John is, a wise guy, so it's a lot of fun. And if you want to hear some of these, you know, I'd be happy to show you how to listen to it. It's interesting. So, but in the end, you're going to spend about $5,000 to $6,000 applying, and then to build the station, you're talking $50,000 to $100,000. Now, it is not, we are not encouraging Pacifica to apply for one very good reason. The new point system is based on localism, which means that if you are applying, you will only make it through this if you are local to the place mm-hmm. that you're applying. And Pacifica has already taken up its local space, and we will not win any contests for licenses. We'll lose. We'll spend a lot of money and lose.
I just have to say I'm shocked to find that there are land grabs going on in the Eastern United States.
How do the religious organizations do it?
Pardon me?
How do the religious organizations do it?
Well, we'll find out. There's a lot of churches. We'll find out. It's a very good question.
Yeah, because we had an experience in Washington where the University of District of Columbia wanted to sell its license, and the religious broadcasters bought it quickly.
Right. Absolutely.
And we made it so uncomfortable for them, they just begged somebody else to
take
it.
That's excellent.
And as a result, well, it's not excellent because we were not in a position to take it ourselves. And as a result, C-SPAN now has it. We're going to have to get a different vision if we keep calling ourselves a network.
Right. Well, buying stations is different than applying for licenses. That's a different ballgame. But in terms of applying for, we're talking right now. One of the great things about working in the network way that we are is that the people that work with us end up becoming committed to getting community radio, whether it's through this process. We have people who have found out that they can't apply because the radio map is relatively full. They now are committed to finding other ways to apply. But I want to be clear about one thing I don't think I was totally clear about. What I'm really suggesting in terms of this Radio for People thing is that Pacifica really begin to see itself as not only a content provider, but really is an organization that is helping to build and sustain community radio. And I'm aware that this is would be, in a way, an expansion of the mission that Pacifica has consciously had till now. And this is why I'm really making a plea to allow to be at the table in some format with this board, because it's a big idea. I think it's powerful. There's a lot of money to be brought in. I'm talking about bringing resources into the network. But there has to be a place for us to really consider this in a serious way.
Rob.
Thank you very much, Ursula, and thank you for keeping Pacifica involved in the radio movement. We haven't been for a long time. I would like to remind everyone that Ursula has been involved very closely with our discussions on licensing and distribution. We have involved you, I think, from the beginning of that. Let me ask you this. You said that there is no... you said something about the affiliates program that you're not sure where it's going. Could you restate that?
Well, the affiliates program has no... Basically, as far as I can tell in practical reality, still is basically a pilot program of this network. It has no real institutional definition.
Okay, if it were to become an outreach program...
Can we clarify that? Yeah. You say it has no institutional definition, as in, for example, a budget that it goes through, or...
All of the above. I mean, what is a program? What does program mean? I mean, I don't know what that means. It means whatever people want it to any particular moment, whether it's talking about budget or, for instance, earlier today there was a board discussion about licensing distribution. I had no idea whether, I mean, the managers were invited to speak. Am I a manager or not? There's a million ways. The bottom line is that without a real definition or a real clarification about funding or a real title, it's a malleable concept. And in any serious vision discussions like today, it remains relatively invisible, which I think is a detriment to the network. I think there are successes that can be utilized and built on, but without some sort of institutional definition.
What definition do you use to convince a station to become an affiliate?
Pardon me?
And what definition do you use when you're talking to a prospective affiliate, and what definition does Amy use to do the same thing?
Well, that's a client relationship. That's a
yeah, but it has to do with Pacifica. What do you tell people? And what do you need from this board in order to tell people consistently the truth about what the affiliate program is?
Well, I think that
forth a lot of money.
Ambrose, wait. Let her set her feet because she's taking in your question. Let her
take a
moment.
It's a big
think
question,
about what she wants
so.
To answer and answer it before we follow up.
I think that Greg is correct. I think that an outreach division is what's required. What I tell the way I promote the affiliates program is I am not a salesperson. My marketing model, if you will, is one of reputation enhancement and attraction. In other words, I go out and I create the scenarios that cause people to come to us and say, I want to be part of this because this means something. They know they can get the program elsewhere. They know that. But what they come to us because they say, this is something that the Pacifica means something to us that is important enough to want to be part of it. That's a way of building reputation. So what do I tell them? I tell them that Pacifica cares a whole lot about democratic media in this country. I tell them that Pacifica cares about being a network. It doesn't see itself as only five stations, but it sees itself as a media force, including more than 100 stations these days. I tell them that Pacifica has a stake in the future of media democracy, and therefore it is putting resources into supporting the development and protection of community radio when it is under fire. I tell them that someday Pacifica is going to help them with come up with a fundraising strategy that's as effective as Democracy Now's, so that they can turn to us for support in these areas and work. I tell them that the size of our network is going to allow us to leverage our size to create lower prices for everybody, to raise everybody's status together, and that we're a media movement. That's the image that I project, and I think Nathan, I think can,
actually,
as a former affiliate, can tell you that's kind of what he got from me. So what do I need? I need for Pacifica to actually see that as well, and to see itself as more than five stations, but to see itself as a media force that is a network concept, and to see that the affiliates program is that part of the network that is providing the infrastructure and the services that benefit everybody, including the five sister stations, with all the benefits that a network brings to everybody.
I want to recognize the chair of the affiliates task force or committee, I don't know which it is, for his input on it. Then I'll come back to the point of information.
Let me tell him what I'm doing.
Okay,
so
go ahead. Raise the point of information.
Because what I'm saying is
I don't know, we in Washington,
this board has not established a policy,
a vision statement
that spells out what she just said and what she's saying to people. Acting director, I signed a lot of contracts with these radio stations, and I'm saying there is no policy established by this board to do what she's been doing.
That's true.
And it's awfully important.
I think that would go to her point about having something she's doing.
I'm going
to
recognize kind of Wizard of Oz-like.
We're all tired, and there are a lot of people who are feeling urgent. Rob is pointing out that he was not finished with the floor at the time he was interrupted. I would like to ask Rip to comment quick. Actually, let's go back to Rob. Rob, finish up, then we're going to go to Rip, and then we'll get the other members. And just so you know, we've spent our half hour now.
In the interest of brevity, Ursula, I think that you have some lessons learned for everybody in Pacifica that should lead to some policies. I would at least like to ask that you consider coming on the program committee, and we dedicate a meeting to that, and then we will transmit our thoughts about what you tell us to the rest of the board in the national office. But I think the lessons that we've learned in the growth of the affiliates program are lessons which we should inculcate into the rest of the network. Thank you.
Rip.
Yes. Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to thank the board for what happened last year with the affiliates program. Those of you here will remember that we gave the coordinator a lot more leeway in reviewing the contracts with affiliates. And since we made that motion last June, the number of affiliates have dramatically increased. And also, we approved the halftime assistant at that time, and I believe now the coordinator is getting the benefits of that part-time assistance. And also, and so I want to thank the board for that step. That was one of the first steps to take in accomplishing this goal that I think we haven't actually articulated as a goal, as a vision. It was a step that we all saw, but I do believe that we need to come together with a vision. And so I also want to point out that last year the coordinator raised the dues on the affiliates and was able to successfully accomplish that. So in the same year that we approved some institutionalizing of this program, we also were raising the dues without much other reciprocal action there. But what we're bringing, and I also want to thank everyone for voting just a few minutes ago on the timeline for bringing the affiliate budget forward, because now it involves the affiliate task force as a legitimate unit in the organization to review the budget request and present those through the coordinator review from the coordinator to the finance committee, just as every other unit does in this organization. What we're looking at next at the task force is to review some additions to the job description regarding outreach, because really the job is changing in a way. It's not only just the bringing in new contracts, but there's a lot more activity that goes on with this position. For instance, it's Ursula who was able to convince this organization to offer us the seed money, which was up $10,000. She's the one that really articulated that at the meeting and by her involvement in that ongoing process. And so
Ripped. I'm not sure everyone understood what you just told them. Do people know that Ursula managed at NFCB to get a commitment of $10,000 from Public Radio Capital to provide seed funding for these efforts? That's what he's referring to.
Yes, it's an amount up to $10,000. Now, she'd been involved with prior conversations with this group, but it was really that night that as the meeting was ending and no one had talked about the critical word money, that Ursula was able to bring that up and articulate that to the group and get that commitment. So she is much more than a salesperson out there getting contracts. And I really do believe that this particular program needs to expand the scope a little bit. And I do believe that there's an outreach component there that could be folded in. And I just don't have the specifics to present at this time at this meeting, but there's documentation that we've had working with Greg and Ursula that the task force will be reviewing, and I really urge this group that when we bring this forward at the next meeting, possibly the next meeting, we're going to bring this forward, and I certainly encourage everyone to support this. We need to institutionalize this program. If there are radical changes in the leadership here, we don't know what's going to happen with this program.
Yeah, or if I leave. We don't know. I mean, there's
nothing
set up.
It's critical that we establish this and that we also have the right people who are really articulate at this work stay with us.
Ray?
Yeah, well, actually, I think this is such a crucial issue that instead of talking about any technical point, I would weigh again on this, how vital this is politically to Pacifica to have a presence in all those communities, especially in the context that we're hearing radio stations are being bought by reactionary entities and the impact they have on discussion of major issues in this country. So I think that instead of complimenting Ursula for being a magical worker, and I know she does it once in a while with the committee and with Greg, and that kind of link tracks as things are moving, that we do have to take it seriously. We have to realize that this is something that is part of our future planning. And I'm willing to sit down, and I agree with completely that we do have to get whatever mechanism necessary to reinforce that process and make it vital and make it to survive and grow.
Chandra.
Okay. The affiliates program has been an orphan child at the foundation. The money for the affiliates program has gone through archives. There is not a separate budget line. We fought for that last year, and I believe that we still don't have a separate budget line. Ursula is not at the table. She has not been invited to the table to discuss budget negotiations. That's why the Finance Committee recommendation is really critical. The task force is now working on developing an organizational structure, and we've worked on mission and vision, and these are all proposals that we will be bringing to you once we have them finalized. So we are addressing these issues, these critical issues, for this program to move forward and get a higher profile within the network and within and beyond. So just so you know, Rob and everybody else, and Rob, now you're on the task force too, so you can participate in that as a member of the task force. I really would have I welcome you inviting Ursula to the program committee, but we have our own entity that's working on this. So let's work collaboratively instead of you taking on some of the tasks that the affiliate task force has already assumed. And let's program and task force work on this together. Thank you.
I'd like to speak before we move on, but I'll recognize there's still
just
lots of comments.
Just a point of information.
We have Evelyn. Evelyn, I'm seeing Sarve Bertold. What's the point of information?
Well, I believe
one of the A-words.
Affiliates does have a separate budget line. We approved that in New York. Isn't that true? That we actually changed that financing
Lonnie
issue.
Lonnie is nodding his head that we did.
I'm sorry?
Lonnie's nodding his head that we did create a budget line for the affiliate.
We did. Ursula?
The difference, the change that was made was on the income side. The expense side is a separate question and yet to be resolved.
Well, in budget, we created a...
I'm going to recognize Lonnie to describe exactly what it is. He makes these budgets, so his perception of it is quite important.
Well, the board did approve a budget line for the affiliates, and that was the revenue line. And at that time, the work that we still need to do is to break out expenses for the affiliates to match up against that revenue. Rip and I had a conversation about it, and we think we can get something done this year. My position on the affiliates is that is critical.
And maybe we can talk about that more during the finance part of it during the finance report, because we're really up against it on time. Sarv?
Evelyn.
Oh, it's Evelyn. That's right. You're the only person at the table I can't see.
That's okay. I'm going to grow a little bit by the next meeting.
Now you just need Bertolt to shrink.
Okay. I'm just going to briefly reiterate that we did last year vote and approve for the affiliates to have to be a separate line item, totally separate from the archives budget.
Exactly.
Totally separate from that. And we really have to move forward with that and not continue to kind of drag this out. I know that it may take a minute, but it doesn't take a year. So we need to see that happen, because they have to become what they are, which is really self-supporting, so that we can see clearly the effect that they have. You can't see it if it's folded into something else. And what Ursula has asked us to do, we said yes, we approved it, and it hasn't happened. And you know, for whatever reason, it really needs to happen post haste, because we really need to see the effect of the affiliates program. We can't see it if it's tied into something else.
Thank you. Sarv, and then Bertolt.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. You know what I hear? I know the affiliate program is a very, very important program. There's no question about that. And Pacifica, to play a vital role in it, and its leadership, will, for the future, it will bring big returns for us and for our community radios as well. I am concerned a little bit that so far, when I see ambiguity about that, so far there's come misunderstanding what our mission is, in essence. The Pacifica hasn't come up with a definition of what is it that exactly defines the affiliate organization and what they're supposed to be doing. And I hope that somehow, in very, very quickly, we can come up with some definition and some responsibilities for the committee, the affiliate task force, so that they can have a focused kind of a approach and see how much resources they are needed and appropriately put to use, good use, and so that the board knows what's going on, and so there can be, it'd be helpful if going forward.
I would like to make a brief comment about that.
Sure.
Just
would you mind if we took Bertolt's comment too, so
okay,
you could respond
sure
to that at the same time, Bertolt?
Hi, Ursula. How you doing?
Hi.
I'm going to be a little critical here of the board and also ask a question. Ursula's been making this presentation and has been working on this, building this for the past 5 years. And we keep on having this feel good, saying, yeah, you're doing a good job, blah, blah, blah. My question is really, how serious are we about that? No, I mean, I see 24 million people potentially being rich in Nigeria. How effectively is the task force working and supporting you? Are other people allowed to join the task force? Is there any way to build that task force so that it can be really supportive? Honestly, are you how much help are you getting? And so I have all these questions. You know, I'd like you to be as honest without being rude, if possible.
But he can join if you want.
Well, I can honestly say I would be thrilled if people would respond to my emails and show up at the meetings we call. I would be so happy if you did.
This is not I'm going to comment on it. This is not to excuse anything, but we all know that our current governance structure makes so many demands of us. When we were talking about our annual priorities, this is exactly the point. Given the overhead required for any action by this body, I can guarantee you that we will be dropping at any given time 5 balls, each one of which is crucial, which is not to say this one isn't, but we have to also tolerate and understand the energy level and the effort that we're all taking and just take as much heart as possible and recognize each step that we have made. And I think Ambrose pressing Ursula on this to get a statement of what our overall intention is, a vision statement, is very, very important. And we may not get everything administratively done, but man, it's a lot of work, as everyone knows. Well, actually, you wanted to respond to a comment that Sarv had made, and I wanted to get Berthold's first. Were you done, Berthold?
Yeah, well, I wanted to say that. I just wanted to point out to everyone that Ursula is not getting all the help that she should be getting. And even though we're having all these feel-good task forces working, I just wanted people to know that she could use more help. That's all.
Lonnie can describe how much help the committee is to him, the finance committee is to him. It's a mixed blessing, isn't it?
Well, somebody else said that to me, too. You're lucky. But no, seriously, I think one, just for starters, one very cost-effective way to change some of that dynamic is that when we meet here in, you know, as the full body, to try and start working in, you know, my part, not mine, but the affiliates program's part of the puzzle when there are large discussions. For instance, today we had a licensing and distribution discussion. What I've been doing with Radio for People very much works in synergy with the licensing and distribution initiative. It's the same philosophy. It's the same vision. It's tough for me to interject all this when, you know, the people invited to discuss it are the station managers.
You were actually, I had asked that you be invited, and
Never that wasn't made clear. So I'm just saying that.
As long as I am chair, you are hereby officially requested to participate in every discussion in licensing and distribution, whether my circuits are too fried to remember to mention it or not. I'd like to go on record now here that that's an official request from here on out in every such discussion.
Okay.
And any other open discussions that we have or board discussions that are relevant to your program.
Okay. And I would ask that those people on the board who are part of the task force, whether you're active or not, to try and wear two hats for a few minutes during these discussions, to think in terms of your own station, but also think in terms of the network concept, because they're actually, it's all, you know, it's actually a benefit. I know it seems like more to think about, but it's really good news. You know, it's resources and it's energy. I want to respond to what you said too, Sarv, and to Ambrose. I don't want to, like, walk away and make it sound like I'm some sort of weirdo renegade member, you know, staff person who's, like, coming up with all this stuff out of thin air. What I said earlier, Ambrose, is only half true. In reality, historically, what happened was that the Interim Pacifica National Board voted to hire me to create or hire an affiliates coordinator. Actually, they hired me as a consultant, and that turned then into a job. So that was put out there. And then what happened was that there was a task force of the IPNB, and they produced a mission statement, which is called today PACE. And it was approved in September of 2002, which basically outlines very sketchily what I'm doing today. So everything I'm doing is based on the PACE document. And at the time, the board voted that the affiliates coordinator go ahead and implement this model in spirit, and that the management and board would later come back and help, you know, make it more concrete. So, in fact, that is what I'm doing. I'm not just making this up out of thin air. This is the result of a document, and you can find the document on pacificanetwork.org. It's there. It's called the PACE document. Uh-huh. And it essentially outlines what I'm doing. I'm just, you know, making it real.
Okay, we've now spent 50 minutes on the 30-minute report, so we're going to need to move on. But thank you very much.
But we need a policy.
And
we need a structure.
And I hope that people will get with
and
you.
And please come to the Affiliates Task Force meeting.
The next,
please, all of you,
the
come
next